going on, guys? Welcome to the Just the West podcast. I'm your host, Just the West, and I know it's been a it's been a couple of weeks since the Super Bowl, but I'm here with my co-host, K-Mo. K-Mo, are you there?
I'm here.
I think we're past the five stages of grief. You know,
I think there's seven stages of grief, but you know, we can always add a couple more, but you know.
Oh man. Well, you know, there's sadness, there's frustration, there's realization and shit. This is an NFC West podcast, but God damn.
Oh yeah, of course. But have you moved on to acceptance yet? Is that where you are at currently, or are you still under the one of the other stages?
Okay, well, I did hit you up via text and I said, are you ready to do this? Like, we haven't done a pod, and you're like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, okay, it's time we move forward. Yeah. And I was actually meaning to do a pod the week of, or like, you know, the Super Bowl Sunday, and then do the pod on Tuesday. I just couldn't do it. And I guess that's part of the acceptance, to give yourself some time.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's been, been 23 days since the Super Bowl, you know, 3 weeks and some change. I think it's, a few things have happened since then as well. Some changes to the roster, to the coaching staff, but we can get into that as well. So,
and that's what I'm saying, because, you know, we just finished the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, and it was another, you know, I love the Combine and I love having it at Indianapolis. It's a great city. You know, and that's when general managers and coaches alike talk shop, potential trades and draft picks, and, you know, they shoot the shit, and it's a lot of handshaking deals ahead of time. But I'm getting too far ahead. You know, both Niners, Seahawks, Cardinals, and Rams. I mean, we're back in the off season, and a big shout out to the Chiefs, who, overtime game, a nail biter against the Niners. And at the end of the day, there can only be one team, one fan base that comes out victorious and can gloat about winning the Super Bowl, and that's the Chiefs. And the rest of the league, which includes the Niners, are second fiddle.
We got to sit back and think, you know, we are talking about the game, an important game to a region, to a city, to the whole, to a state, considering the 49ers have not won a Super Bowl since we were like in third grade. Who's counting? But again, it's, you're thinking about, you know, what went wrong, what could have happened. And I know we talked about before, someone had said to you, oh, I'd rather be in a situation where I'd rather lose by getting blown out. I couldn't disagree more with that. I think that if they were to go out even in this fashion, by losing and coming so close to really to finishing this game, I'd rather take this kind of tough pill to swallow than get your ass kicked, lose by like 30 points. You know, this is hurtful, but it also shows you that you're right there. They're so close.
Oh yeah. And on that note, there are other fans. And by the way, so the Super Bowl was obviously on Sunday. Monday was a bloodbath for Cowboy fans, Rams fans, Raider fans, name it, to lick their chops and just reel the Niners. And, you know, there were some fans I've seen in the comments and just feedback alike saying, like, you know, I'd rather be a 4-12 team than go through this sort of pain. And I do not agree with that at all. Like, it hurts, and you know, it sucks, but I'd rather have my team competing for Super Bowls and in the playoffs and in contention to be an annual contender. And obviously it sucks, because this is like, since like 2017, like, you know, this they just haven't gotten it done. And you know, I don't know if they will, or maybe, you know, who knows. But I'm not at the fact of being a perennial loser. I'd rather be a perennial contender.
Yeah. You think about those teams, franchises who have never, who've never even been to a Super Bowl. We look at the history of those franchises and it's like a continuous history of losing, and like the Chargers who, you know, up and down, make the playoffs, they're good, and then it fizzle out. And it's like all these things where it's like, we'd rather be in this position where, you know, the Niners were in the 90s were the top, and they had some down years, and then slowly rebuilding with a new regime, building through the draft, through leadership, come to this point now, we're reaching how many NFC championship games in a row, getting to the big game, you know, several times in the last few years. It's, you know, it sucks to be the bridesmaid, but like, you know, at least you're up there. It's close. I know it's hard to soak in, but being 4-12 is, that's no fun at all. Cause that means there's no direction in your organization. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. You know, this game, you know, we could spend a couple hours pinpointing, oh, had this happened or this happened over here, had Debo
like 10 things that could have happened.
Yeah, had Debo had more than 3 catches for 30 yards or whatever. If, you know, whatever.
Return,
you
want to say, overtime,
like all these things.
No,
like,
hold by the Chiefs. Yep. I heard,
understanding the rules overtime. Is that a real thing or not? Like, you know, all these different things. But again, there's nothing pointing with this current team, the makeup of it, the leadership with Lynch and Shanahan, to say that this Niners team could definitely be back next year. There's nothing saying that they can't be. They have pieces at hand, the core pieces. They're going to lose a couple guys. They're going to gain a couple guys next year. But the culture is set. The expectations are there. They know what it's like to win. I feel for players like George Kittle who were there in the Super Bowl from the 2020, we'd said, you know, dude, this sucks. You know, I want it back bad, and now they have to do it again. So
right,
things like that.
Well, I will say this: if you want the glory, you gotta take the pain. You gotta take the bad parts of being a fan, and it hurts, but it comes with the territory. And I will say this as well, like. You know, faithful then, faithful now. I haven't felt, I mean, obviously the last couple losses have sucked, but I think the reason why I wanted to do this whole podcast thing was because I felt so passionate, or felt some sort of way, ironically, on the first time, you know, with Harbaugh when they lost to the Ravens in the Super Bowl. It was a gut-wrenching loss, and that kind of made me realize how much I love football and how much I loved, you know, covering the sport. And that prompted me to do a blog and a podcast and all that, because it was more than just a hobby for me. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that's why football remains supreme, because, like, you know, for like NBA and MLB, it's like a 7-game series. It's like a slow battle. Yeah. Right. And that's why I love football. And that's why I love March Madness, because it's an elimination game. And so many factors can happen, you know, special teams, defense, offense. Like, there's so many facets to football. And that just justifies why I enjoy to be a big fan, a fanatic, as you may say.
Indeed.
Anyway, I know, shoot, it is March already. So I just wanted to put it out. We must move forward, Kemba. We must move forward. Because if you're you know, if you're John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, if you're, you know, fuck, there's no Pete Carroll anymore. We haven't even talked about the other guys in the division, but everyone is 0-0 going into this upcoming season, and every team has an opportunity to get better. And that's what we're going to talk about with the NFL draft, the offseason, free agency. This league never stops, and neither should we.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how you want to go about this. So I'm glad that we got it out the way. You know, yeah. I got this out the way, to say those words. Very therapeutic. But yeah. Did you know that the Seahawks have a new head coach?
I saw that. Who's like our age. That's kind of trippy. But
yeah, because we're like 23, right?
Yeah, dude. Of course. We're Gen Alpha or whatever.
Yeah, Mike McDonald, I think he's like 30, 7-38. He's from he was the guru, the defensive guru, the defensive coordinator from the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
The Ravens obviously had a triumphant defense, and he got the best out of his players with some pretty critical wins over the Niners, the Bills, like some really tough teams this past season. And he ascended from Michigan to
So is he now
he's a head coach.
Would you say he's like a Harbaugh disciple, or which tree is he under? You know what I mean?
I guess so. Yeah. He came from Michigan. He was their defensive coordinator. And then with the Ravens, like they got, kudos to them, but they poached coordinators from the top dogs in college, and it worked. He was a first-time defensive coordinator in the NFL, and he had one hell of a season. And just like that, he's now the head coach of the your Seattle Seahawks. And I think it's a good hire. I think it's a fresh face. He's sharp.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, obviously elephant in the room is he hasn't done it before as a head coach. He's new. You could make a case like, you know, Brandon Staley with the Rams. He did great as a defensive coordinator, and then he didn't really cut it out as the Chargers. There's always that level of like worry, but I get the hire though, for sure.
Speaking of, I mean, obviously he just started the job, but you know, obviously
36 years old, by the way. Holy shit. He is our age. Yeah.
Oh shit.
He's 87.
Recent hires and such. I even saw today he made some moves with the Seahawks. I don't know if you saw the recent cuts. Want to see what your thoughts on those moves were.
Yeah. So, you know, with a new head coach, you're going to go a different direction with the roster. And I think they saved about $35 million in salary cap, but tight end Will Disley, safety Quandre Diggs. And this one's going to hurt, but you saw this coming. Your star safety, quote unquote star safety, Jamal Adams, they've all been released. And you're talking about, you know, Quandre Diggs, good player. They gave it a good extension. They got him via trade on the Lions. Will Disley, mid-round pick, who got an extension recently as well. Good player. And then last but not least, Jamal Adams, Pro Bowl player, but he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. They traded two first-round picks for Jamal Adams. But, yeah, they had to, or at least Mike McDonald decided to cut the cord. And I get it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those guys have been around for a few years, and like you said, Adams just can't seem to stay healthy, even though they gave up a lot to get him in that situation. Just shows you this kind of new regime, and where it's. I just saw it on Instagram, Quandre Diggs tweeted or X'd or whatever, like, got fired on my day off.
Yeah. I feel for Quandre Diggs, though. In my opinion, he's a solid player. You can make a case like Jordan Love and Diggs, like he's replacement value. But I really like Quandre Diggs as a player.
Did you see that the Niners actually hired a former Legion of Boom staple in KJ Wright?
I did see that, and that happened the other day. He's going to be defensive quality
assistant coach.
He's going to be starting his coaching career. I'm
interesting.
Frankly, I'm surprised. I thought Richard Sherman would get hired before KJ Wright's, but
yeah,
maybe that also means that Sherman might be around the corner to join the staff.
Maybe, or maybe he's just comfortable doing his kind of broadcasting, you know, podcast thing he does. But that was interesting for sure.
Yeah, no, it makes you feel good. There's a couple things to feel good about this offseason.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the Niners? Short, but you know, they did their homework. They did some interviews for a defensive coordinator position and decided to stay in-house. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so what you're talking about is Daniel Sorensen, who's in-house, replacing Steve Wilks, who got fired as the defensive coordinator. Surprised, but not surprised, just because, you know, just the way things kind of Nick Sorensen. But just the way how things went, especially in the Super Bowl. But even then, like, I still remember that, you know, that blitz against the Vikings that, you know, screwed them up and inevitably, you know, lost the game with the touchdown. But anywho, it felt like it just wasn't a good fit for the Niners in the long term. And it just sucks for Steve Wilks because I know he's a great coach and, you know, he's well respected within the league. But, you know, unless you're getting Belichick or Pete Carroll, like it's really hard to find. I mean, everyone wants the big name, right?
Right.
But then they also said and alluded to, well, John Lynch did, that, you know, they would like to continue to play their level of football, like the same style, which is the 4-3. And, you know, Belichick's a 3-4 guy. You know, there's just a lot of moving pieces with that. There were rumors that Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator of the Jets, might be looked at. But, I mean, for the most part, like, most defensive coordinators don't go to another team to be a defensive coordinator. They usually go to get promoted to head coach, which means that, you know, the other candidates have to be positional coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unless you're going to – and they did look at a couple other guys from outside. I know they looked at a couple coaches from the Raiders, the Chiefs, to name a few. But to get someone within, and especially to play the style that they want, yeah, it's no surprise. And Nick Sorensen, I think he joined the staff around 2021, 2022. He was their defensive passing game Nichols coach. You know, I get the hire to do it internally. But they kind of doubled down, though. Did you notice? Because you saw the news. Not only did they assign him as defensive coordinator, but there were rumors about Brandon Staley, who we just talked about.
Okay.
He didn't do his thing too well with the Chargers, and that's why he got fired. But he did one hell of a job as a defensive coordinator with the Rams. So I know a lot of people were critical. So they kind of doubled down by giving him, well, not giving him, but he got hired as the assistant head coach. And he's going to be the lieutenant for Sorensen. And, you know, his experience in both as a defensive coordinator and as a head coach is super valuable. He's credible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his ideas should help supplement what Sorensen is trying to do with his defense. Keep in mind that Brandon Staley typically runs a 3-4 defense. But I think it's good to have that as a, I won't say a backup, but to help supplement, you know, Sorensen being so green at the position.
It's kind of like the 2-for-1 special there, because you kind of, they were interested and they probably would have been like, yeah, we got our, if they ended up hiring Staley as a DC. Like, oh, we're kind of good with this. They ended up getting him anyway. But I don't know how hot the market was for him, considering he kind of flamed out with the Chargers. I think the nail on the coffin when, what was it, the Raiders put up like 65 on.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Like, I don't know. Like, even Spagnuolo, he's a great defensive coordinator, obviously Super Bowl champion with the Chiefs.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
He was not a good coach, head coach with the Giants. I mean, that's just.
Yeah, some of these guys are just better on the side there.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Vikings, now he's the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. I mean, it's that's how the league works, you know?
Yeah. Interesting. So we'll see. I was listening to KMBR about like the sort of personality that Sorensen is. And they're asking, oh, is he kind of like the rah-rah guy, you know, like Saleh, like Ryan's was. And they're like, no, this guy is like all business, kind of like, you know, buttoned up. I didn't realize he had been in the league for like 10 years or plus. That's like mostly special teams guy.
Yeah, no, he's put his time. He's been around, right.
Paid his dues for sure.
He joined the staff with the Niners recently, but he's been around.
Yeah. Right. So interesting, you know, obviously the Niners kind of, you know what they're doing, keeping it in-house, knowing that they need to make a change, and they did so. So hopefully that's will pay off, because, you know, obviously this Niners defense was so up and down this year. And kind of going into Super Bowl, we talked about how defense was not playing well for a period of weeks. And you could argue that, you know, the defense played pretty well in the Super Bowl itself, but, you know, we'll see. we'll see how this translates over the off season and next year.
Yeah, you know, Niner fans too. Like if they struggle early on,
yeah,
there might be some, you know how this shit goes. Sorensen, you know, get replaced by Staley instead, or you know, that's just how Niner fans are. Actually, that's how all fans are. They're never happy, and you know, especially when you lose. Yeah, like fingers get pointed. Speaking of fingers getting pointed, this is not a bad thing, but it seems like all eyes are on Kyler Murray for the Cardinals. I think it's safe to say that he's going to be he passed the eye test with John Gannon, their new head coach. Well, now second year head coach, going into second year, but they're going to be building around Kyler Murray, and good for him too. I mean, he came off an ACL injury, new GM, new head coach. They have no ties to him, but he did well enough, showed enough to have them continue. And I think they have the number three pick in the draft. So, you know, their rebuild won't be, I mean, obviously that they are a couple players away, if not more, but Kyler Murray will be your starting quarterback / franchise quarterback for the Cardinals. What are your thoughts since you used to live in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always kind of felt from the beginning that I feel like the jury is still out with Kyler Murray with me. He definitely shows flashes of being very dynamic, very unique player, but I still have questions about, not just his, you know, he's been hurt a couple of times, but size has been an issue. The command of the offense. I mean, you can argue he's never had a great offensive line. He's had a whole bunch of different receivers playing with him, you know, all these different things. But going to a second year as a guy coming off an injury, no longer injured, like you said, everyone's kind of looking at him. I don't know what his contract kind of currently stands, where that means. I know he signed that extension a couple years ago.
He's going to be there, yeah. I think for
nothing. So nothing's going to happen there. But I guess at this point, it's really just building around him, getting him the weapons that I need using this new leadership. Because the last one, the Cardinals were like, had such a weird season, and like, you know, their GM like left and quit and all these different things happened. And so, we'll see. I have never been the biggest Kyler Murray fan. But you know, I guess there's left to be seen.
Fair enough. Rams, they've been kind of quiet lately. I've been seeing Puka like everywhere. He's been
making his rounds.
He's at the Pro Bowl. He's been at a lot of hockey games. Like, I don't know. Seems like he's been having a jolly good time. Yeah.
I've seen those memes. They're like, oh, Puka Nacua just signed the 10-day with the Warriors because he looks like the dude the Warriors have in the team.
I know. With Santos or whatever?
Santos, yeah.
I haven't really heard too much from the Rams lately. I know obviously there's some stuff going on, but I, in comparison to like, I don't know, Pete Carroll retiring or leaving the Niners and stuff like that, it's just am I missing something right now, Gamo?
I mean, I guess so Stafford's gonna be back.
Stafford's coming back. I think if anything, you know, they're on the come up. They had a really strong draft class.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper Kupp will be healthy. Puka Nacua obviously is your number two guy or number one A, one B type guy.
They're being quiet, but in a good way, because I think that they're confident with their core, or at least their past draft class, and to build around a healthy season with Cooper Kupp, Stafford, and
Donald, unless he decides to retire again or whatever.
Running back Kyren Williams, like, you know, they got some really good pieces now. Obviously, their secondary is a work in progress. They need some more edge guys. But, you know, with this upcoming draft class, they have 10, 11 draft picks, very similar to the Niners. So they could make some moves, honestly.
Going back to the Cardinals real fast, they actually have the fourth pick in the draft. And just they are targeting in this mock draft Marvin Harrison Jr., which should be a big
I mean, especially since they're going to build around Kyler Murray. I get it. Personally, I think they might need another tackle, even though they got Paris Johnson last year. But I get the fit, obviously, right? I won't say it's the next Larry Fitzgerald, but it's the next Larry Fitzgerald.
In this mock draft, Seahawks have the 16th pick, picking a defensive lineman at Missouri. And then the Rams have the 19th pick, picking a cornerback.
Yep. Cool.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Speaking of the Cardinals, by the way, Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator for the Commanders now.
I saw that. So he did like one season at USC, and now he's back in the NFL.
Pretty sweet gig. I won't say he's like Lane Kiffin, but it's kind of like Lane Kiffin. He just bailed, but he finds ways. Like,
yeah, he just sticks around.
That's a pretty sweet job. Yeah.
Oh, also the Cardinals also have the 27th pick in the first round, picking Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, quarterback.
Oh, actually, what the Niners did draft him. I think he's.
I know they interviewed him.
So. He's a scrappy player. I don't know if he'll be there at 31. Obviously, if the Cardinals draft him, but yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, the Niners currently at 31 pick, picking some random guy I never heard of from Missouri, cornerback.
Okay, I want them to get it. You know what? We'll have another pod about the draft as we get closer.
Good call. Yeah, we'll wait.
Progress. We talked about the Super Bowl. Talking a little bit about the offseason. We're making progress, guys.
Yeah. That seems like a good place to say, all right, we've moved on. We have accepted the fate. 2024 seasons come to a close. Now we look forward to 2024-2025 season.
Yeah, guys. So I appreciate you checking out the pod, whether it's on Spotify or Apple Music or Google or Amazon or wherever you get your podcasts. Continue to do so. Twitter, aka X, at Just the West, Instagram at Just the West, of course the blog www.justthewest.com. I know that this wasn't necessarily a pod with a lot of direction, but you know, that's part of the seven stages of grief. We're coming towards acceptance. And we'll be back with more pods and more content, more so for the offseason, because you know what? The Niners did not win the Super Bowl, but they have another opportunity to get better for this upcoming season. So, and the Rams and the Cardinals and the Seahawks.
Oh, of course. Yeah. We can't forget them.
Yeah. So till next time, we out here. Peace. Mm-hmm.